Want to hone your craft as a digital marketer and get expert insights from thought leaders and industry experts? Welcome to the How I Work podcast. I'm your host, Josh Becerra, founder and president of Agurian. Follow us on Twitter at Agurian Tweets or subscribe to our YouTube channel for more great content. Now, here's the episode of the podcast. Hi, everybody. This is Josh Becerra from Agurian. I'm here with Chris Bixby, the VP of Growth from Sezzle. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be here. It's fun to get out of the house and into Northeast. I mean, I love this building and beautiful offices.
Yeah, we love it too, although nobody's here right now because we're in the midst of a pandemic. So hopefully in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to bring the team back. I'm excited about that. So like I said, thanks for being here. One of the things that I think is really cool about your experience and what I want to talk to you about a little bit is how you've kind of been on the marketing side and now have moved to the sales side of things, enterprise sales. So you've kind of seen both sides of the equation, and we'll get into that a little bit more. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about like your background, your experience at Sezzle, and how that like transition and experience has gone for you.
Yeah, that sounds great. And maybe I'll give a quick, like, what is Sezzle, and then jump into a little bit
Let's do it. How I got there.
So Sezzle is a purpose-driven digital payments company that offers a point-of-sale financing option for consumers that have typically been left behind by other traditional forms of credit. So today we're in what we would call the buy now, pay later space.
Yep.
So someone comes onto an e-commerce platform like a Northern Brewer or a Target. They, for a whole host of reasons, need different reasons to make that purchase.
Right.
They may not have a credit card, they may not have availability on their credit card, or they just want a more easy, seamless way to pay.
Yep.
And they select Sezzle at checkout, and then they pay in 4 payments over 6 weeks with no interest ever. So I joined the company about 3 years ago. The company's been, it's Minneapolis-based. We've been around for about 5 or 6 years. It was founded by some Carlson guys. And alums, and it's been a terrific ride. And so the company itself started as really an SMB focused.
Okay.
So where we got our initial traction as a business and a payment solution was really in the SMB world.
So small businesses like mom and pop shops or a little bit bigger than that, but not the big targets of the world.
Yeah, a lot of mom and pops, a lot of small businesses, you know, think like boutiques that are going online, CPGs, beauty brands, you know, fashion brands and apparel. That was really the start of kind of where Buy Now, Pay Later and Sezzle started.
Yeah.
A lot of those were Shopify merchants, you know, WooCommerce, Magento, and kind of other platforms.
Got it.
And what they saw immediately was just unbelievable results with this new payment option. So they saw larger basket sizes, they saw more frequency. And it just took off, right? Like as an industry and a category, it took off. And so we as a business were just so focused on integrations, partnerships, and really that SMB world. And so I joined about 3 years ago. I led our rebranding initiative.
Okay.
And a big part of that rebranding initiative was to capture the consumer, understand kind of who that consumer was, and bring forward really our purpose and our mission.
Yeah.
But then also doing a better job of connecting what our brand matters to that merchant.
Right.
Primarily that SMB merchant, to be honest.
Well, and there's some synergy there, right? I feel like the person who may need that little assistance on their credit side of things, the SMB kind of gets that person. Like they're kind of in the fight too as a small business trying to make it a go. So there's some like good values-driven alignment, and I think that's part of what I think is super cool about Sezzle.
Well, and having been an entrepreneur myself, in a tough, challenging business environment.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's something that's always on your mind. I mean, cash flow's on your mind, growth's on your mind.
For sure.
How you get by is, you know, when are the receivables coming in? I think that's something that, you know, a lot of also boutiques and people that build these brands are also, it resonates with them because the customer is them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Especially as you think about that kind of smaller, you know, smaller business, smaller middle market business.
Yeah.
That was created by a founder who had a problem that they wanted to solve, and then so that audience is them. And so I think you're right. I think it just resonated, it worked, and the growth was terrific.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I came in, was on the marketing side. We were going through very much that, you know, you asked about the marketing and sales transition.
Yeah.
Was we were really focused on that area, but what we started to recognize was like either competitors or other businesses are starting to get into the space, and they were kind of taking a top-down approach in terms of, you know, big businesses, big retailers like, you know, the Macy's of the world.
Yeah.
And we started looking at our product and we're like, well, look, our product's just as good, right? Yeah. We've got great approval rates, we've got XYZ, we've got da 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 da. Why are we not resonating, or why is it not working with that enterprise kind of customer? Yeah. At the time, we brought some external people in, we started growing super rapidly, and then I transitioned actually over into the enterprise sales side. And that was a really cool transition, I understand, but we were also going through that transition into how do we be an SMB focused that's got a terrific product led, but then enterprise is really how we're going to start bridging that gap.
Yeah.
And that was definitely an opportunity and a challenge for us organizationally.
So let's lean into that a little bit. So we've talked around it a little bit, but like, what have you learned about the messaging or like the approach to enterprise versus SMB now that you've kind of seen both of these worlds? Like, how does it differ?
I think the first thing for me, the fundamental difference for me, is the needs are just completely different with internally and how to navigate, sell into, and then ultimately service an enterprise level customer.
Yeah.
And so we always think of our product as super scalable. You know, it works for any customer or consumer, whether you're, small business or a target, the product works the same. And so I think from a marketing and from a business standpoint, we always just thought, well, the sales story is the same, right? Like the things that businesses care about, it's gonna naturally, resonate with enterprise. I think what we started realizing is the decision makers are completely different. Mm-hmm. And so at a smaller business, again, it's usually a founder, a CEO, president, head of e-commerce, someone in marketing.
Yep.
At a big company, you start to involve, finance,
right.
you start
multiple
to involve
decision makers.
Multiple decision makers, people that also have very different priorities.
Yeah.
So what we started—
IT is like, wait, what? We're
IT,
gonna do this? What?
Integration, yeah. exactly. Like, what's the integration look like? We had to actually come out with different integration solutions, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't going through platforms anymore, so that was a piece on the back end that we came out with different solutions that were fitting our enterprise level.
Yeah.
To your point around, just like finance getting involved, other groups getting involved, procurement getting involved,
right.
analytics, like the analytics and kind of the rigor that they want to see in terms of the reporting and ongoing basis of updates is a very different thing. And so I think we started to realize that, like, look, the product's great. It works for the consumer, it resonates with what we're doing, but it's all these different functions actually internally to match the external kind of, enterprise that we had to build out. And that was a journey for us, and we did it really quickly, and the team activates that stuff very, very fast, and we did a really good job of it. But it's a learning curve, and you learn a lot in terms of kind of that different, and your sales materials change, and your approach to marketing changes.
Yeah.
So it was a journey.
Well, from what I understand, it's working amazing. You guys are totally like rocking it, rocket ship growth. So that's awesome. And I do think that like getting into enterprise, just like it's like jet fuel, right? Because you can grow an SMB, but like one big enterprise client can mean a huge amount. So we've talked a little bit about like you being on the marketing and sales side and this transition. I'd be curious, one of the things that I have had a lot of conversations about is like a little bit of the friction that exists between sales and marketing. And so you're kind of uniquely qualified because you've been on both sides. And we just published our 2022 SaaS Marketers Confidence Report. And one of the key findings is that kind of friction between sales and marketing still hasn't been resolved very well, that marketers, because those are the people that we ask when we do our survey, that they're still feeling misaligned in a lot of ways with the sales side. So I'm curious from your perspective, having been on both sides, like what would you tell either sales or marketing leaders or like their organizations, like what are some of the things that you think could help improve that or like eliminate some of that misalignment?
Yeah, it's really challenging, and I don't think anyone's going to ever eliminate it. There's kind of different roles, responsibilities, and kind of focus points of kind of the two teams. I think where we saw it, and I saw it when I was on the marketing side, I saw sales, and now I'm on sales. I have plenty of feedback on the other side.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing for me is alignment organizationally.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about SMB focus, you know, mid-market focus, enterprise focus, you know, building out personas, building out kind of who we're targeting and how we're targeting them. We were talking about that offline just a little bit ago.
Right.
The more alignment that can be driven there, you know, is just massively important.
Yeah.
And so really understanding, again, where dollars are being spent and why. So one of the things we were doing on the marketing side, and, you know, it was challenging. I don't know if I ever did it to the extent that, you know, we really wanted to or really got all the sales on board, was we really broke down kind of what brand building was and what it meant,
yep.
you know, what content was and what it meant, and then what activation or, you know, spend, you know, in marketing ads and where we were spending that and how we're spending it. So I think the level of transparency is really important
yeah.
from the marketing team.
Yep.
And then I think the flip side is, like, I really think the sales team can and should be doing a better job of including and bringing marketing into the process.
Right.
And I think we have a lot of, you know, there's different personalities of salespeople, you know, if it's the lone wolf or,
sure.
you know, the run and gun. And I think sometimes that team leaves behind marketing rather than bringing them along in the process.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it that we've seen, is that the more times we can involve marketing sooner in our sales process,
yep.
in our conversations, in our actual presentations and meetings with merchants, actually the more empathy that's built on both sides and
yeah.
that team brings back. There's always, you know, I think a natural, unfortunately, friction shouldn't be the right word, but it is.
Yeah.
But I think the more just collaboration, you know, working from home is really tough, but, like, bring the teams onto a call, I
yeah.
think is immensely important. And we also did feedback loops. So we typically would do a monthly feedback loop
okay.
where on the marketing side, we'd share out
yeah.
kind of what we were doing, what was working, and why we were doing it.
Yeah.
And then we opened up the forum for our sales team to kind of give feedback.
Yeah.
Again, it's risky, I guess, in some cases, but it was what I think was pretty good and what I've appreciated now being on the sales side.
Yeah.
I've really appreciated seeing what the marketing team is doing
okay.
because then I can say, like, you know, hey, one or two things is working. Here's my perspective based on this merchant I've talked to.
Yep.
And I think that ongoing feedback loop is really important, and I think, you know, for all organizations to think about.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I just feel like you're talking about the lone wolves or, like, certain types of salespeople. I mean, they are out there belly to belly with the customer, right? And there's, like, a lot of marketing kind of ideas that could get unlocked. And so, like, the fact that you're bringing along some marketing team members to, like, sales presentations and things like that, I think that is the level of collaboration, and you use the word empathy. Like, I think that's where it really has to get to in order for, like, those teams to start becoming way more aligned and like, eliminating
yeah.
some of that friction, which might be a bad word.
And I would just say, like, you know, one of the companies I've always been impressed with in terms of how they treat internally, but then also externally, their customers, LeadPages.
Yeah.
I think LeadPages has always talked about their customer is a person, right? Like,
right.
they were one of the earliest that really adopted this idea that it's not about the functional product, it's not about, you know, benefits, not even about value add.
Yeah.
It's about treating the person you're selling to like an individual, like a person.
Yep.
And I think, you know, when I was on the marketing side, that was really important,
yep.
right? Like, you know, I actually started to see, like, you know, LinkedIn ads that are going, looking more and pulling in TikTok ads, right? Like, they're becoming more raw, more open, more transparent.
Yeah.
Like, all the things that you're seeing
not
on the consumer
so fully
side.
Produced.
Right.
Yeah.
They're bringing in, you know, a lot of elements that I think has worked in consumer marketing.
Yeah.
And I think LeadPages has always done that really well. And I think where, you know, we've done it, or at Sezzle or others, is, like, it's still a personal sale, right?
Yeah.
You can still give the, you know, the benefits of everything you're doing. And I think when marketing starts to see and realize that,
yep.
they also recognize, like, oh, this is a really important way. Maybe I can spin my, you know, value prop a little bit differently. Maybe I can treat that person a little bit more, you know, as a person
yeah.
versus a, you know, a product decision maker.
A prospect.
Or, yeah,
yeah,
a prospect, yeah.
yeah.
And I think that's been an important part of kind of that personalization of it.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, bringing people onto calls and together and,
right.
you know, et cetera.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like the more that we can see as marketers, like, the sales team as people and, like, our collective prospects as people. And even, like, I've had conversations on a different one of these How I Work videos talking about, like, leaders, the people that we as marketers have to go to and ask for budget and
yeah.
like they are also people. And everybody just wants to kind of understand what other people are trying to accomplish, what their motivations are. And, like, the closer that we can get to just treating each other like people, I think the more success we have. So
yeah.
I think Lead Pages is a great example.
From a personal standpoint, it's been something that, you know, my wife and former intern used to tell me to smile more. And it's like one of those things that even when you're in a sales meeting,
yeah,
you got to remember that you're still just talking to someone. And I think for me, and just like new into the sales world, kind of being in it for about 2 years now, I think that was something that took me a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of you come into the room and you're buttoned up and, you know, it's formal.
All about business.
Right. Yep. And I think there's an element. And it's different than, I think, the traditional, like, let me get to know your family. And, you know, like, there's an element of obviously relationship building, but that's not what's going to, you know, lock the deal.
Yeah.
I think it's just this element of, like, camaraderie, banter, back and forth that ultimately builds stronger bonds.
Yeah.
And also... allows you to push back. And I think that's the other thing from the sales side that I've recognized is the more, you know, not in a bad way, but the more you push back, the more you have that engaging conversation, the more you're kind of being equals in the room or in the call or on the call. I think that goes a long ways in terms of credibility, you know, understanding, listening, et cetera. And I also would say humility, in the sense when you don't know what's going on or they're bringing up really good ideas. That's frankly another reason I love to have marketing and product on our calls.
Yeah,
they're like, was, ding. I hear great ideas and I'll ask, you know, our prospects these ideas and their immediate feedback loops for our marketing team and I'd say and our product team. We haven't talked a lot about product,
right?
But the more honestly success we is getting our product team involved also actually in the selling process, because that's another part for them that they're building, they're learning, especially with enterprise, because there is customizations, there's unique value props that they need.
Right.
And so in addition to marketing, I think product has been an unbelievable partner kind of to understand and recognize those kind of things.
That's awesome. Well, cool. So I have two more questions.
Okay,
we'll make them quick. But you know, we just started 2022. So I'm just curious, like, what are you kind of excited about for this year?
Other than travel and big things. I mean, it's weird to say. I mean, excited, I don't know is the right word. I'm really keen to see what happens with the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, just straight up, I think, you know, inflationary pressures, you know, interest rates kind of talking, you know, whether we're in a bubble or we're not in a bubble. And I'm not going to opine on it from a personal standpoint, but like, there's just a lot of still insecurity out there where we're at. So I think I'm excited for not the insecure, but the, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, having a little bit more of a, you know, foundation in those things. There's just a lot, you know, just a lot of questions. So I'm excited for stability, I guess, in those areas and to see also where they play out, you know, whether it's a real estate market, you know, even e-commerce and retail, et cetera. So I'm excited to see where it all plays out.
Okay. Cool.
So we'll see.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows? That's a whole nother video, right? But I would be curious, too, to see how that in the end might impact Sezzle, right? Because your business model is kind of about credit and helping people, you know, be able to purchase things that maybe they wouldn't be able to otherwise. So, like, how those factors may impact your business it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, regulatory, I think the way consumers are being treated and the way, you know, CFPB and, you know, government's getting involved and looking at things that I think they hadn't been looking at in previous. I think a lot of that's coming in because of low interest rates and how they're thinking about if there's going to be, you know, other things out there. So, yeah, I don't
know. Time will tell.
It's an interesting point where we're at, and we're hopefully coming out of something, but there's a lot on the horizon. I mean, even geopolitically, there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So the last question is, I ask this always, is, you know, like, who are you paying attention to? What are you reading or listening to a podcast? Like, who's out there that has some cool ideas that you're latched on to? Right,
so the two things I'll just say, so one is HBS After Hours. I love their podcast.
Okay.
There are three professors, business school professors, that will just talk about current events and current business issues, climate issues, everything. They do a weekly. I think it's phenomenal. They just bring the latest and greatest, and they do it in a way that it's very conversational.
Yeah.
Super smart, different ideas, different opinions. I listen to them every week and love it. And then I'd say on the business and kind of going back to our original side on sales marketing, I'm new to the sales world.
Yeah.
And so I happen to be reading sales books and self-help sales books. And I think you know, it's been really interesting to me seeing the different types of selling, the different types of characteristics. So I think Challenger sale has been a really good one. There's been some HBR articles that have come out around, you know, what they call like, sense building. And so I think there's a lot of evaluation of, we've gone through different evolutions of like the sales, you know, cycle and what works.
Yeah.
You know, the strategic sale was really, really big. Challenger sales are, you know, more nuanced and more recent kind of idea. But I think we're starting to say like the sales models continue to change and evolve.
Yeah.
And like, I've been kind of taking the step back and looking at it over time. And I think that's an interesting area that, you know, relevant-wise, I've been spending some time with.
Yeah, I definitely love sales. And I honestly think that people sometimes, when they think about sales, they don't think about like the level of thought and sophistication that goes into it. But like, there are some really amazing like thought leaders that are out there talking about different models for sales and approaches. And so it's cool that you're reading that. I enjoy that stuff too. So
yeah, the psychology is a pretty interesting side of it. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Chris, thank you. Yeah, appreciate you being here. And that's going to be it for today.
So. Yeah, thanks so much. This is great. Thank
you. Thanks. Thank you for listening to the How I Work podcast with Josh Becerra. If you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe. To learn more about Agurian and for more digital marketing tips and insights, head to agurian.com.